And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show. Mornings with the Leader Man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Friday.
Today is National Kiss and Makeup Day.
Kiss and makeup?
I know.
Yeah, well, let's kiss and makeup.
Kiss and makeup?
It's kiss and makeup, not kiss in makeup.
Let's put this behind us.
Let's put it behind
okay,
us.
Okay, like it never happened.
Let's kiss and makeup.
Happy National Kiss and Makeup Day!
Now, pucker up, baby.
It's showtime.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sandhills. It is time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, and don't forget, of course, we're being heard around the world on a live video audio stream. That's available to you from our website at talk973.com or talk1041.com. Or WEEB990.com. Upper right-hand corner of every page has the icons. Click one of those and you're listening that quick. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area. Well, yesterday was extremely nice, but none of those days are projected in the near future. Look for partly cloudy today, 96 for a high. Heat index 101 with all the humidity. And partly cloudy tonight, isolated thunderstorms, the low around 74. Sunday, partly cloudy 89, heat index of 104. And for Sunday, partly cloudy with thunderstorms likely and a high of 91. And Monday, as you go back to work, mostly cloudy with showers, chance of thunderstorms and a high near 85. Right now, around the Sand Hills area, we're looking at partly sunny skies, 74 degrees, humidity 88%, dew point 70, winds are calm, and pressure 30.03. It is 8:34, 34 past the hour. John Zumwalt and Steve Woodward's in the building, and they dragged in somebody from outside. Our guest this hour. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning. I'm not sure I would have used the term dragged in, although I might have 10 years ago used that term. I do have a guest, and you know what? He's a good friend of mine. And let me say before I start that we never ask you to think about donating any money, but I want to ask you to have a pen ready to write down the address or whatever information this guy gives you here in a little while, because I think you're going to want to give some money. Could be wrong, but I think you'll want to when you hear this story. Now, it's not going to be for him, or we wouldn't ask you to do it. My friend today, Bill Ivey, is a retired infantry colonel. He's a West Point graduate. In fact, he's the only West Point graduate in this area who's not running for mayor of the village. He's also a former movie star. He was in the movie Stripes. If you saw Stripes with Bill Murray, Bill was in that for, I think he was about 3 seconds he was in there. I've looked at it over and over. Bill, if I had to say what I thought Bill's expertise where it lied, besides writing Army doctrine and influencing the Army's operations greatly, was I always think they, when I was around, they would call on Bill if they had anything, to, any questions about Korea. And Korea was always, just like it is right now, acting up. And it seems like Bill would be on a plane going to Korea to see what he could do to advise our leaders over there about making things so that we didn't go to all-out war. But anyway, let me say good morning to a friend I have not seen for a while. Hello, Bill Ivey.
JD, it's great to see you. I was just thinking that if you go back 15 years or so, nobody would have seen you and me together at the AWG and thought that, one, you'd have a radio show, and two, be brave enough to have me on it.
No way. Bill does really well now, but there was a time when, I put it this way, the FCC might have been tempted to shut us down after the first sentence of Bill's, but he's done really well. I want to tell you a couple of words, and I'm going to get into Bill talking, but this organ, and by the way, hello to Suzanne. Suzanne's the one that kind of by accident recognized that I knew Bill, and we were at a get-together one night, and she got a hold of Bill, and thank you, Suzanne, so much for doing that and getting him here. Bill represents, at this moment, homes for our troops. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the troops, and I'm going to let Bill tell you about the homes. These are folks who've lost a leg or an arm or two of each, one of each. These are people who have been blown up with roadside bombs. We call them IEDs. And the reason I want to tell you a little bit about these people first is because even though I don't know them personally, I do know a lot about having your leg or arm blown off because I was on the IED field team, and I have certainly seen way, way, way more than my share of these. And I always want to tell people, when you see a lady or a gentleman that have lost their limb in combat, they did not go to a surgeon's office and say, excuse me, when you have time, I'd like you to put me under and gently remove my leg. And when I wake up, I want to be out of pain and everything to be okay. These are folks, these are Americans. Just picture your son or your daughter, your neighbor, your father, your mother, and on. And women and men who were traveling along, and all of a sudden, and maybe you might want to turn it down if you have children, but all of a sudden, without them even really realizing what happened, they had a mess where their leg used to be, or both their arms used to be. They had things hanging out, nerves and vessels and all kinds of things that one cannot imagine unless you're a surgeon or unless you've seen this before. They laid there and in agony, and it could be hours sometimes before they could get someone in to help them. These were people who volunteered, signed up to join the military for this nation. They're folks who are going to live with this forever, for as long as they are on this earth. And you know, when we see them, we tell them, oh, thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. And then we forget them. But they've got to go home, and they've got to do all the things required to get around in life with that one leg or that one arm or that no arms, whatever it might be. They're the ones whose spouse has stayed beside them and supported them. And so I tell you, we could not do, in my mind, we could never, ever do enough for these amazing, amazing people. And so Bill will tell you in a little bit about the houses they're building. And I don't want you to believe that, well, they're going to give them these houses and in 2 years they're going to take them away if they can't pay for them. Doesn't work like that. Bill, can you tell us about, I really want people to hear first about what these guys get, the kind of house, how big it is, and how much they pay for it. Just take it away.
Well, thanks, JD. Just to kind of reiterate, Homes for Our Troops is a nonprofit organization, 501c3 organization. But I want to start off by saying, don't ever think of what we do as charity. What we do is we help the American people repay a debt we owe these men and women that have been so severely injured serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. As JD said, we build for the most severely injured veterans. So they're multiple amputees, paralyzed, or blind. And we do that to enable them to rebuild their lives. And that's our tagline, JD, building homes, rebuilding lives. And the way I look at it, from an Army perspective, military perspective, our supporting efforts building a home Our main effort is to help these men and women rebuild their lives. The home we build for these guys and gals is it's a nice-sized home. It's a single story. It's about 2,800 square feet, four-bedroom. But everything is completely accessible to an individual in a wheelchair. So the countertops are lower, roll under sinks, roll under countertops, roll in showers so the veteran can roll in, transfer from his or her chair to a bench, take a shower, and not get his chair wet. We've got lower, as I mentioned, roll under workplaces, roll under stovetop. There's no ramps. We have some, obviously have some handrails in the shower and in the bathrooms. But it's a home that the veteran can live in and go wherever he needs to do in his or her wheelchair. We put a wraparound sidewalk around it so that the veteran's got full access to his or her yard from the wheelchair. And we build all of our homes with a full home generator so that if the veteran loses power, that baby just kicks in and he's good to go. I'll just cover one other feature is the master bedroom closet. We build the master bedroom closet as a steel-reinforced concrete storm room, that FEMA Level 5 standard. So essentially, it's a built-in tornado shelter for our veterans because it's really not practical for them to hop in their chair, get in a car, and drive down to a shelter. One of the things that really makes us different is we build where the veteran wants to live, and that gets back to our mission of assisting them after they're in the home. So we don't hand them the keys and say, hey, here you go, thanks for your service, and here's the home. We say, here are the keys, welcome to the family, and we're going to be there when we need you. So it doesn't make sense to build these homes somewhere in the country where the veteran doesn't want to live. So we ask them where they want to live, within reason. I'll tip them up front with them. If you want to live in New York City, we're not your guys because we need about an acre of land. And, you know, I try not to say this too often, but if you want to live in New York City, you're probably not one of my kind of guys either. So we build these homes around the country. I'm down here to finish a home tomorrow in Asheboro for our 3rd Infantry Division soldier deployed out of the brigade at Fort Benning. Lost his leg to an IED while driving a Humvee in Iraq. And we're going to finish up his home tomorrow in Asheboro. And that will be our 364th home that we've built in 45 states around the country. We've got 75 ongoing projects.
Bill, I want to ask you a question. There are some people out there who are cynical, not as cynical as you or me, but they're pretty cynical. And they're asking themselves, okay, these guys build these folks a house, and I bet they take it away from them in 5 years and just take it back because that's the way a lot of these things work. Is that the way this works with you?
Absolutely not, J.D. When we build these homes, we expect the veteran to live in it the rest of his life. So these homes where the kids, the grandkids come for Christmas, holidays, whatever the case may be, probably pass it on to, can leave it to their children. What we do, though, is we put a 10-year lien on the home. So the veteran has no equity in the home for the first 5 years. And then for 5 years, they accrue 20%. So they own that home free and clear at the end of 10 years.
Now, are they making a payment?
Absolutely not. We figure these guys and gals have paid enough by losing their limbs or becoming paralyzed or blind or some combination thereof.
So you guys build them a house, and in 10 years, it's theirs. Now, if any of you are thinking, well, that's a pretty good deal. It's not that good of a deal, folks. Well, let me stop. It's a wonderful deal and a wonderful thing that's happening through Homes for Our Troops. But I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't care for my arm or leg or both legs to be blown off so that I could get a free house in 10 years. The trade-off is not worth it. But I just wanted folks to know that this is their house in 10 years. Bill, we'll do this a couple of times, but tell us how people may donate if they care to.
So if you care to support us, you can donate or you can fundraise. If you go to our website, hfotusa.org, Hotel Foxtrot Oscar Tango, Uniform Sierra Alpha, Oscar Romeo Golf, it'll pull you up on the main page, and we've got a donate button on each page on the website. You can hit that donate button, and it'll bring up the different ways you can do it. You can mail a check to our headquarters up there in Massachusetts. You can donate online by credit card or from your bank. And as far as fundraising goes, you're only limited by your imagination, we just say. As long as it's not illegal, immoral, or unethical, you can do it to raise money for us.
Well, I want to come back to all this. It's so important to me and very personal. But first, I think I'd be remiss to myself if I did not bring up the fact that you own an old, beat-up, worn-out Corvette.
Well, I wouldn't say it's beat up. It's old. I bought it in 1975 as a second lieutenant when I was single and could afford and didn't need anybody's permission to buy a car.
And to attract someone who would marry you?
Yeah, I might have had something to do with it. She won't drive it now because it doesn't have air conditioning, so I guess she's arrived.
Well, Bill, let me see if I can put a little light on this. Now, it's not beat up, and she won't drive it now, but am I remembering this correctly? Were you going down the highway in Georgia and the steering wheel came off in your hand?
Well, yeah, it did. I probably let the steering box cook a little long before I took it in. Fortunately, I wasn't going real fast, and I kind of coasted off to the side there. And fortunately, I wasn't far from Benning, so I called up one of my Ranger buddies who came to pick me up, and we got her done.
Can I ask him two questions?
Of course.
Was that the inspiration for the song, "That's the Night That the Lights Went Out in Georgia"?
Well, the author of that told me I can't answer that question.
The other question is, like Joe Biden, do you keep your Corvette in the kitchen? Because his nearly got destroyed by a kitchen fire, we were told.
No, I don't actually think I have anything in common with Joe Biden. But I got 300,000 miles on Corvette, so it hasn't been sitting in a garage. It's been my go-to-work car for the last almost 45 years.
Well, I can tell you, you have nothing in common with Joe Biden. Maybe your cognitive abilities.
We're both old.
There are some generous people who build houses for him, apparently, but they're more than 2,800 square feet.
Bill, you're in town now to give away a house in this general area. Can you tell folks where that's going to be, when it's going to be? Because we have some people who may want to drive up and see that amazing ceremony.
Sure do. It's in Asheboro, which is only about an hour from here. The home is for Army Specialist Josh Craven. And the kickoff actually starts at 10 a.m., but we like to get folks here a little bit early to register up. We're running a shuttle. He lives, we built off a dirt road. He's got a pretty nice spot. He's probably got about 5 acres, mostly wooded. But if you go to the Amity Hills Baptist Church in Asheboro, and the address is 4140 Highway 64 West in Asheboro, the Amity Hills Baptist Church. We'll have a shuttle bus going from there. So if you get there, between 9:30, a shuttle bus will get you over to his home, and then we'll do the key ceremony in his driveway there. And then after the key ceremony, folks can come through, go through the home. We can give you a tour and show you some of the features. There are over 40 major adaptations in our homes that enable the veteran to do whatever he wants to do and do a 360 in his or her wheelchair. One of our guys out in California had a 3-year-old and 5-year-old sons when we built his home. And I talked to him a few months afterwards, and I said, what's one of the big changes in your life? He said, well, when I need to get after them, they can't hide. Because they knew they could hide behind the dining room table, and I couldn't get to them. But he put that smile. He said, they can run, but they can't hide. He's a good Marine infantryman.
Thank goodness I didn't grow up in a house like that. Josh Craven, Specialist Josh Craven, is he married? Does he have children?
He is. His wife is a fifth grade teacher. His daughter is 8 years old, going into third grade this year, and he's working on his bachelor's degree.
And it takes an amazing amount to support a family man if you're one of the spouses. If you're a spouse, either the husband or the wife. And I just can't imagine how they get through these things. Notified that your spouse has been blown up, and then to find out that they've lost their limbs, and then to have a group like this come in and say, "Hey, we're here to rescue you," so to speak. What I like, Bill, is you take them through it. And oh, by the way, are you going to have any celebrities there besides you?
No, we try to get usually the mayor or somebody come out to talk.
That'd be a no.
The mayor is busy, but we do have one of the police sergeants that led the escort for his kickoff, and then his wife is going to speak, and she's a marvelous speaker, being a school teacher and all. But with you talk about on getting that phone call about your spouse or your son being injured. When you go to our website, we list all of our veterans by state, so you can pull up North Carolina, look at the 18 guys we built for here, look at the 4 ongoing projects that we have here. And part of that webpage for each veteran is a video. And when they're married and they interview them and they talk to the wife about finding out about her husband's injuries or talk to the husband finding out about his wife's injuries, it's pretty emotional.
Well, the mayor's too busy for this. I'll leave it there. But let me say this. A lot of folks who are very well connected listen, and they love America, they love the military, and they love things like this. So next time you come here, Bill, let us know, and we'll reach out and see if we can get someone that will come in and speak, a celebrity. They won't answer the phone for me, but they will answer the phone for others in this area. So we'd really like to give him all the honor that we possibly can. I'd like you to give that a site out again where people can donate, and do it again with regular talk and then phonetic. I didn't know if you'd still remember the phonetic or not.
Yeah, it's only been with me for 50 plus years. Yeah. Our website is hfotusa.org. Hotel Foxtrot Oscar Tango, Oscar Romeo Golf dot Oscar Romeo Golf.
And that's simply short Homes for Our Troops.
That's correct. So, Homes for Our Troops is the organization.
Well, how did you get in this? I mean, I got to tell you, you and I have been friends for a long time, and you are somewhat of a curmudgeon, wouldn't you say?
I say that's a good description, yes, sir.
And so am I. But so you would not be the first choice, but I tell you, honestly, if I had to pick someone that gets things done, make it happen, snap the whip, and absolutely be organized and on top of that has a caring heart, even though he tries to hide it, you'd be my first choice. So, but how did you get involved in this?
Well, when I was leaving the Asymmetric Warfare Group, I had lined up a job in Atlanta, close to where I live in Georgia, and thought it'd be unique to kind of live and work in the same spot, which I hadn't done in about 10 years. And the president of the organization called me up and said, "Hey, I need an executive director." I said, "Okay, I'll put the word out to my buddy, see who's interested." He said, "I'm talking about you." I said, "You want me to be the executive director for a nonprofit organization?" He goes, "Yeah." So we talked a little bit and told me what he's going to pay me. And we're headquartered in Massachusetts. That's where our office is. And he knew I was in Georgia and he knew I wasn't moving to Massachusetts. So he made me an offer and I said, "Let me get this straight. You're asking me to take a 25% pay cut, but I don't have to buy my own plane ticket?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, I'm in." So I said, "You come up for 3 years and we can get this thing going where we want to go and then move on." And that was 9.5 years ago. So can't do math any better than I could when we were together.
No kidding. And he also knew you couldn't find Massachusetts. So listen, this little brochure I have in my hand, if you don't have one, I'm going to hand it to you. But can you kind of go over that? And I don't want to overwhelm people with statistics, because if you hear about these things on the radio, after a while, it's like just a blur of nothing. But maybe you could say a word or two about some of them, because they are very significant.
Sure can. We survey our veterans every 2 years, and we only survey the guys and gals who've been in the home for a year or more. And it's a before and after. What was your life like before your age fought home and after your age fought home? And I'll just share two of the statistics with you, but I recommend if you go to our website, hfotusa.org, we list the impact on there. The first one I'll share with you is over 95% of our veterans said they've got less stress in their life after moving into their home. They've got some of that freedom and independence restored. We take the mortgage or the rent off the table for them, and they can be a husband, they can be a wife, they can be a parent, they can be fully involved. And I think everybody listening knows that anything that will take a little stress out of your life is probably not a bad thing. The second statistic was employment. Veteran employment went up 123% after they moved into their home. But what really jumped out at me the first time we did this interview, spouse employment or caregiver employment went up 273%. And that's getting back into rebuilding lives. You've got a job, spouse has a job. Maybe the veteran is full-time stay-at-home parent. But they're back into the normal routine, or what we all consider normal, and we don't usually think about when we get up in the morning to go to work and maybe grumble about it, but we hop in our car and walk into the into our office or wherever we'll in. So, and all the statistics in there are equally eye-popping to me. And again, what really jumped out at me the first time we did this survey was the impact on the spouses and caregivers.
I noticed the community involvement and volunteering jump way up. Those folks volunteer in the community.
They are. And again, it's because they don't have to spend all day just getting out of bed, putting on their legs, trying to take a shower, shave, and all the stuff that, you know, we do without really thinking about.
Bill, we don't have a lot of time left. But tomorrow, is it tomorrow when you're going to present the house?
Correct. At 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Please give that address again. Please. And then, look. Folks are always looking for something to do on a Saturday. What a great thing to take your family to. If you have small children, explain to them what's going on. Explain to them what that veteran gave to us and what little bit of a nothing we're giving back to him. Not demeaning nothing, but in comparison to what they did. So tell us where it's at, what time to be there, and what they can expect.
Sure. If you can get to the Amity Hills Baptist Church at 4140 Highway 64 West in Asheboro tomorrow morning between 9 and 9:30. We'll get you bused over to the home site. The ceremony starts at 10, usually runs about 55 minutes an hour, and then you can come on in, meet the veterans. We're going to have about four or five of our veterans there. You can talk to them, meet Josh and his family. And again, as you mentioned, JD, community is so vital. I always tell folks there's three things you can do for us. One, tell people we exist, because we work very hard to keep nearly 95 cents of every dollar going to our mission of buying land, building homes, and staying in contact with these guys for life. So you're not going to see us on TV 8 or 9 times a night. We don't pay for advertising. Got a couple of celebrities. Winona Judd is a spokesperson for us, but she didn't charge us for anything she does for us. Number two is welcome our veterans into your community, because that's absolutely vital to communities and vital to these guys and gals rebuilding their lives. And as I said, I've got six folks on staff. All they do is stay in contact with our veterans, following up, making sure everything's going well. We've got a group of veterans and spouses do peer mentoring. So if you can get out and welcome Josh and Holly and their daughter Aubrey to the community, I think it would be great. He chose to live in Asheboro. He could have lived anywhere in the United States he wanted to live, but he chose Asheboro.
Hey, you know what you can do in 1 minute and 25 seconds this morning? You can go on their website and make a donation. I just did it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bill, it's great to see you. Thank you. I never cared for you.
Yeah, I know that. You made it clear.
Thank you so much, Bill. Good to see you.
Great to see you, Jetty.
All right, and so it goes for this Friday and this week. Have yourself a great, safe weekend. We'll see you back Monday, bright and early, for a Monday morning edition of The Leader Man. Until then, be sure to support the mom-and-pop businesses you hear on WEEB, because they're the core of our economic life here in Moore County. If we give them first crack at our spending dollars, guess what? They'll give the money right back in buying goods and services right here in Moore County. See how it works? If you want to be a part of it and find out how effective talk radio is, just give us a call here at the station. All right, that's it for me, the Leader Man, and Nick and Colt the Dog. We're out of here, headed to the hot, humid dog park today.
When I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay. Class dismissed. Rock on.
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end.